Track 6. Welcome to another week's sports update. This is Brian Gall with the latest news and comment. Glad to report that Glass Boys, the Stourbridge soccer team, got back on the rails on Saturday after three consecutive losses. They were on their travels once again, visiting Whitby Town for a match played in blustery wind conditions on a muddy pitch. The wind proved a big factor. Playing against it during the first half, Stourbridge found it difficult even to make much progress towards the opposition goal, and they found themselves a goal behind after only 3 minutes played. Thereafter, most of the first half was spent keeping the home side at bay, but it was a complete reversal after the interval with the wind at their backs. Glass Boys got right on top, and three goals by Benbow, Tonks and Jones saw a very welcome 3 points in the bag. That result was sufficient to move the team back up to second spot in the league table. Then, on Monday evening, Glass Boys were back in action at the Memorial Ground for a visit by Stafford Rangers. An early goal by Jordan Archer and a late one from Dan Preston secured the points in a 2-0 victory for the home side. It was not all one-way traffic, however, and the visiting team squandered a couple of excellent chances to put themselves on the scoreboard in the first half. It's good news the team have steadied the ship after those three successive losses, but it's crowded at the top end of the league table. Most of the other teams play their midweek matches on Tuesday evening rather than Stourbridge's preference for Monday, and it'll be interesting to see how the table looks after last night's games. But there are half a dozen teams right on Glass Boys' tail. In the same league, Halesowen Town managed a 1-1 draw at home to Barwell on Saturday, just keeping themselves ahead of those teams dreading relegation at the foot of the table. They are currently in 18th place. No local rugby to report on Saturday. It was a blank day because of the Six Nations internationals over the weekend. As you would expect, I was in position in front of the television on Saturday afternoon, firstly to watch Scotland in their match against Wales. All week beforehand, I had swithered between being moderately confident Scotland would win to doubting whether they could. It came all right, from my viewpoint, in the end with a convincing 29-13 victory thanks to a second-half performance which included marauding forwards, rampaging backs and some really quite slick handling moves that overturned the supremacy the Welsh had shown during the opening half. It's been a while since I have heard the Scottish crowd singing their team home to victory, but the big test, a visit to Twickenham, is still to come. Having raised a glass in celebration, I then sat down to watch Ireland versus France. Fortunately, my wife is a rugby fan as well. That went much as expected. Occasional flashes of French flair eclipsed by the inventive Irish half-back pairing who set up their compatriots for a comfortable win. Second wind having been recovered, it was England versus Italy on Sunday afternoon. Stourbridge Rugby Club had set up their big screen and refreshments at the club, and where better to watch a match than amongst a crowd of friends? As the only Scotsman present, I could watch with calm nerves, and it was interesting to see the reactions of those around me as they grew increasingly frustrated by an England performance of stuttering incompetence. England won in the end by a fairly comfortable scoreline at the finish, but it was nowhere near the performance that had been anticipated, and I think we shall hear much less of talk about Italy being dropped from the Six Nations because of their alleged low level of achievement. With each of the countries having completed three of their five matches, England now head the league table after three wins, Ireland in second place and Scotland third, both of these with two wins out of three. The next action takes place the weekend after this. Still on the subject of rugby, but rugby league this time, not union, that Canadian team I was telling listeners about last week, the Toronto Wolfpack, who are going to earn lots of air miles this coming season, arrived in England last week to take part in the third round of the 2017 Challenge Cup competition. They won on Saturday, beating Siddall, a team from West Yorkshire, by 14-6. It'll be interesting to follow their progress in that competition and in the National League this coming summer. Coming back to soccer, at the senior level for a minute, there was a big local derby at Molineux on Friday evening when Wolves hosted Birmingham City. A key game this for Wolves, who are flirting with relegation danger, and it did them no good at all that they lost the match 2-1. A goalkeeping error handed Blues the opening goal on a plate, and they went 2-0 ahead with a curling shot by David Davis before the interval. Wolves' sole effort came in the second half from Dicko, but it wasn't enough, and even when City were reduced to 10 men after a red card for Robinson, the Wolves could make no headway. Villa also achieved a rare win on Saturday, 1-0 versus Derby County, and with Albion defeating Bournemouth 2-1 in the Premier League, that meant 3 out of 4 wins for West Midlands teams in the top leagues. But Wolves are in a spot of bother, no doubt about it. 20th in the league table after Friday's defeat, 4 points above the relegation zone. Like so many other people, I was extremely disappointed by the sacking of Claudio Ranieri from the managership of Leicester City last week. The sheer romance of their winning the Premier League last season takes some beating, so I was delighted that they were able to do something to relieve their fears of relegation this year by beating Liverpool 3-1 in their match on Monday evening. 2 goals by Vardy, taken with style, just like last year. Let's hope this is the start of a recovery that'll see them safe in the top flight for another year. It will not be long before the start of the 2017 Formula One motor racing season, and this week the leading teams are having practice sessions at the Barcelona track. The Mercedes team, who've dominated the sport in recent years, appeared to be the most satisfied after the first day of practice on Monday, with their number one driver, Lewis Hamilton, recording the quickest time. He's joined on the Mercedes team this year by Valtteri Bottas, replacing Nicky Rosberg, who retired as champion after the end of the 2016 season. Bottas recorded the 6th fastest time on the opening day of practice. Hamilton's been quoted as saying that this year's Mercedes car is a beast, by which he means quick. But I noticed that the Ferrari team also enjoyed quick times in the opening practice session and will doubtless be competitive as well. In contrast, the Red Bull and McLaren teams didn't enjoy the opening practice session. There has been some changes to the specification of the cars this year, the intention being to make them capable of going even faster. Well, it's also hoped that changes to the tyres will make them last longer as well. 2017 will be the 71st Formula One season, and it will open as usual with the Australian Grand Prix, scheduled for March the 26th. The Starbridge News last week reported on a pair of talented Woolaston sisters who are making their mark in the sport of archery. They're still schoolgirls and junior performers at the moment, but they each came top in their respective age groups at the West Midlands Archery Society Indoor Championships. In the under-16 category, Freya Palmer was the top scorer after shooting 5 dozen arrows for a score of 547 points, while her sister Heike, competing in the under-12 category, came top with a score of 483. Maybe the 2020 Olympic Games in Tokyo will come along a little too soon for these two, but 2024? You never know. I mentioned last week the indoor athletics tournament, the weekend before last at the Indoor Arena in Birmingham, where the meeting was a prelude to the European Indoor Championships to be held in Belgrade from Friday until Sunday this week. Regular listeners will know I'm a fan of track and field competition, and 2017 is a big year for the sport as the World Championships are scheduled at the former Olympic Stadium in London next August. But coming back to the indoors in Belgrade, if you're looking for potential British medal winners, I think top of the list will be Laura Muir, competing in both the women's 1500 and 3000 metres. She's been running faster and faster over the past couple of years, and, as I was telling you last week, completed a very quick 1,000 metres indoors at the Birmingham meeting. She is clearly in good form at the moment. For other medals, we could look to Andrew Kilty in the 60 metres. He'll be defending champion in that event from the last World Championships 2 years ago. Then Andrew Pozzi recorded the fastest time of anyone so far this year in the 60 metres hurdles, so should be in the hunt for a medal in that event. And we have a very strong British lineup in the women's long jump, comprising Katarina Johnson-Thompson, Lorraine Nugen and Jasmine Sawyers. You can follow all the action live on BBC Two, starting on Friday morning at 8:15 until midday, and then again in the afternoon from 3 o'clock, with similar timings on Saturday. Then on Sunday, the last day of competition, starting at 2:30 in the afternoon. So that looks like another weekend spent in front of the television. Mrs. Gall will be delighted. As a matter of fact, I won't see too much of the athletics on Saturday, as the pair of us are off with a bunch of intrepid rugby followers to watch Starbridge in action at Chester. Club supporters usually make a day of this fixture. Chester is an attractive town to wander around and offers plenty of welcoming restaurants and bars. So welcoming, in fact, that the result of the rugby match later on becomes almost of secondary importance. The way recent form's been going, I'm not holding out much hope of a win for Starbridge, but you never know. Anyway, I'll be able to bring you news of that and of the other sporting action in next week's news. Until then, it's goodbye from Brian Gore.